Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Clarity Podcast. I am Elena, and I am looking forward to having this conversation. I know I probably say that every month, but every month is true. Now, for our newcomers or for anyone who may have forgotten, the purpose of every Clarity conversation that we have is to see ourselves, others, and God clearer so that we can live the abundant life that we were created for and get rid of some of our blind spots. Now remember, Clarity is a blog post, a vlog, and a podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Clarity Podcast. I am Elena, and I am looking forward to this conversation. Now, I probably say that every month, but every month is true. For any newcomers out there, or for those who just may have forgotten, the purpose of every Clarity conversation we have, it's to see ourselves, others, and God clearer so that we can clear up some of our blind spots and get to living the abundant life that we were created for. Now remember, Clarity is a blog, a vlog, and a podcast. So you can watch, read, or listen to any of the Clarity content on various platforms and always on clarityblog.com. All right. So this month's convo is a bit nostalgic for me. I was talking to my oldest sister. She is the firstborn. And she reminded me of something that my grandfather used to say that his father told him. He would say, "Your gifts will help you, but they'll also hurt you." You see, he knew that his gifts were a blessing, but sometimes they felt like a curse. I loved my grandfather dearly, and I used to say that he was my person, but I don't think that he ever found his way past this point, and I doubt that my great-grandfather did either. It seems like they stopped at the painful part of the process, and they just accepted it as the reality of a gifted life. And honestly, I don't blame them because I found myself at the same point right now. The cost of my gift feels so heavy. And it seems like everything I'm trying to do out of obedience is just blowing up in my face. I am so tired of being drugged by this struggle bus. Can I be real with y'all? Whoever out there said yes, thank you. I felt that. Y'all, sometimes being me is exhausting. I feel misunderstood and taken advantage of and devalued. It seems like other people get off so easy and so much is required of me. There are times when I wish I could just unsee the issues in people that I detect. I wish I could not notice the need of not one more person. And just give back this helpful heart. I don't want to enlighten you. I don't want to help you see what God is saying to you. I don't want to write another social media post, another blog, or post another podcast. I want to close my eyes, shut my mouth, and just put my brain on pause. But there are some times when I can't turn it off. It is as natural to me as breathing, and God requires me to pour out even when I feel like I have nothing left. And it makes me wonder, if I could have chosen my gifts, would I have chosen these? Or would I have happily let someone else become this person? You see, I understand. We should be grateful for our gifts. And I am. But level with me for a second. What do you do when you didn't choose what you were given? And what's required of you seems like too much. Honestly, how do you rectify the cost when deep down you would consider giving the gift back if you could? Now, Let's take just a little side note. It doesn't matter what the gift is, whether you are wise or funny or organized or have a great voice or can cook. Anything you naturally do well is a gift from God that can be used for His glory. And now, for the sake of this conversation, every gift is on the table, spiritual gifts included. If you did not give it to yourself, it's a gift. We are all multi-gifted people that are equipped with these gifts just so we can be who we're supposed to be and do what we're meant to do. No gift should be minimized or discounted or excluded. Every gift is valuable and every gift requires a cost. So here's the first clarity point. The conundrum is our gifts may come naturally to us, but they require us to pay a seemingly unnatural cost. They require our sacrifice in the most strategic and sometimes excruciating ways, but it pays divine dividends. The point of every gift is to draw humans to God, ourselves included. For others, our gifts remove the obstacles to allow them to better experience God. For us, it removes the inner obstructions that hinder God from existing in and moving through us. The cost we feel is simply what's required of us to allow these two goals to be achieved. But that's the thing, isn't it? It's when our gifts stop being easy, when they stop feeling natural, that we are forced to face the cost of being who we are. You see, helpful hearts, they can get bruised frequently. Givers taken advantage of. Encouragers, they can be forgotten. Creatives misunderstood. The dependable ones, they can be weighed down with pressure, and the defenders can be left feeling defenseless. We don't get to choose the cost of our gifts, but it's on us to decide if we'll pay it. And that's where we typically get hung up. So, where do we start? I feel like I'm at the same point my ancestors reached, but I can't respond like they did. It didn't seem to work out for them, but honestly, what I'm doing isn't working out for me either. So what do we do? That's the point where God told me that their understanding wasn't the end of the revelation. If they would have just kept going in the process, they would have reached transformation. You see, it's not really about the cost. It's about our response to it. So here's the second clarity point. When you don't truly understand the purpose of your gift and value it enough to go through the process of maturing into it, that's when you make your gift a curse. So the way I see it, we have two things that we need to do. First, we need to understand what we may be doing to make our gifts feel like a curse. And then we need to decide if we're going to keep doing it or if we're going to stop. Now, when this first question came to mind, God shared with me His thoughts about the ways I shifted myself into feeling like my gifts were a curse. He showed me four things that I was doing that were putting my gifts at risk for becoming a curse. So I want you to listen and see if any of this is true for you. One, I ignored the purpose of the process. Honestly, I blame my parents and their affinity for group punishment for my, but what about them? They should be in trouble too, tendency. I guess it was wrong. I couldn't even get it out right. See, comparison often distracts me from the purpose of my process, and I forget this is a game of one. My gifts are for my development. It's not about them, whoever them is. You see, these frustratingly painful people problems that I face, that I find myself in, they exist only to develop the faith and trust and peace and compassion that I need to better operate in my gifts. Regardless of how we're gifted, character development is a requirement. It's a priority. And it is the foundation of our success. Now, every time I start feeling burnout, I forget that there was a moment that I was excited about this gift. At one point, I was amazed at what God did through me, and I celebrated the results almost as much as the people that were benefiting from them. And when all we can see is the cost of our gifts, we have to remind ourselves, it's not just that the world needed this. We needed it first. We are always first partakers of our gifts, and no one truly benefits from them more than we do. I know life may make you think that it's an upside down deal, but it's not. Our gifts are to help broken people, true. But they're also carried by imperfect humans, aka us. Why God entrusted divine gifts to humans, I will never understand. But the process of maturing into our gifts, it develops these human vessels into the right dwelling places, the right temples for our gifts, so that they are protected and made effective. But remember this, before our gifts can make room for us out in the world, they must make room in us. And this is what the process is for. Every imperfect situation that you experience, every time you tried your best, but the results weren't what you wanted, that's the process of the gift making room in you, maturing you, developing you, and purifying you so that you can have a divine impact. And when we see it that way, we don't become overwhelmed by all of the things that didn't go quite right. Because we know that the purpose of all of it is to make us better, stronger, and more impactful. Now, here's number two. I didn't understand my gift, so I abused it. I think that my life wouldn't be easier if the point of my gift was to make me feel celebrated or valued or safe. And since that's obviously not the world that we live in, I have to admit that I have been guilty of hijacking my gift to satisfy these cravings. See, when your gift is hijacked, it becomes a perverted version that attempts to fulfill your own wounded needs. My gift to see others' needs, or my heart to help, my solution-oriented mind, it all became tools for my misfix-it personality. But no matter how I tried to make it okay, it wasn't, because that was never their intended design. And eventually, I had to unlearn how I operated in my gifts, because my habit was to use them to offset the areas in me that weren't healed. So much of how I operated in my gifts was to satisfy my need to be useful and wanted. So the flip side was, when certain people rejected my help, they weren't rejecting my gifts, they were rejecting me. And it was a problem. See, we have to be careful to separate our identity from our gifts. They aren't who we are. They are just how we operate. when there's not a proper separation, the hits of criticism and rejection and judgment have a much larger impact than they're meant to. And the cost of our gift is much higher than it was intended to be, because somehow, some way, we tacked on our value and identity and self-esteem. You see, your gifts are how you are, but they're not who you are. We've got to let our identity expand past our understanding of our gifts. When we allow our gifts to be the totality of who we are, we limit who they can become, who we can become. You see, I thought I was just a writer, but who I always was wasn't who I was forever meant to be. Now, I'm a blogger, a vlogger, and a podcaster, and honestly, I never asked for any of it, but our gifts are meant to expand our view of ourselves, because even we don't fully comprehend all of what we possess, so we don't comprehend all of who we are. As you mature, your gift and the definition of it will change. For me, I have always been a helper, but how I define what help is and what it looks like for me, it's changing. For so long, help was me by your side, in the trenches with you, having conversations and giving you a helping hand. My version of help required me to be present, either visually or vocally, because when it came down to it, I only learned how to let go and walk away when I was mad. If I did not like you anymore, those deuces, it wasn't a problem. But if I wasn't upset, I would risk going down with a sinking ship if I thought that I could save you. I have discovered that I confused help sometimes with a savior martyr complex. So to me, disconnection felt like abandonment. But God is a good teacher, and he used some painful experiences to show me the truth and to refine how I defined my gifts, and it purified them. Now sometimes help is me walking away and allowing God to take it from there. Sometimes it's remaining silent and allowing you to find the revelation on your own. You see, this process with my gifts is maturing me, and I am learning not to assume that I'm being asked to fix every problem that I see. You see, when God benches me, it's always an opportunity for growth, because I've learned that sometimes he will hold back you exercising a particular gift, and he will reveal or strengthen another one. I may be hyper-focused on one of my gifts, but God never is. It's never about being strong in one gift with him, but developing every gift within us, whether we know that they're there or not. That's why we've got to follow the process. So I don't want you to be too proud to let God show you who you are. And please stop telling him who you're not, because at the end of the day, we don't really know. So now that we're halfway there, I have a few questions that I want you to consider. Is the execution of your gift pure? Now, be honest with yourself and think on it. Is any of how you do what you do, is any of it not necessarily for God or for others, is any of it really for you? Now, when we make our gifts about fulfilling our needs, we taint them and we limit their impact, because we siphon some of it because we held some back for ourselves. Now, number three, I had unrealistic expectations of people. You know, it's funny. The very gift that allows me to do this vlog and podcast is the same thing that I often don't feel like I get enough of. I see so clearly others and their needs and the root of their issues sometimes, but those that I have wanted that from in return, it seems that when I show them me, they don't see it. And when I voice my needs, they don't hear it. And if I'm not careful, that's when I start wondering if any of this is worth it. And honestly, that's when I start slipping in the hostage mode. Now, I never call it hostage mode. I always give it a different name. You know, I put the PR spin on it, make it sound a little better, not as bad. I will call it being discerning and strategic with my gifts, or conserving my energy, taking me time. But the polluting feeling is always that I feel tired of feeling taken advantage of, and I don't want to feel used anymore. So I tack on extra requirements for how and when I will use my gifts. It sounds like, okay, Lord, I'll speak to them, but only if they really seem like they'll listen. Or I'll do this for them, but they better be grateful. I'm never quite disobedient, but I start requiring something of the person I'm supposed to be giving to. You see, the hostage mentality, it always demands reward. And it's hypocritical because you're trying to exact payment for something that you freely received. It was so often that I have made people responsible for my reward and in some ways made them the source of my validation. It's always subtle, never overt, but there was always just a little bit of judgment on their response. And that's when my gift is no longer freely given. Did they do anything with what I told them? Or did they value my gift by responding in the right way? In my head, I know that this is jacked up and it is not the way it's supposed to go. I know I shouldn't be focused on people's responses, but when you don't see God as your rewarder, you'll find someone else to give the title to. But the right title to the wrong person, it's still ends up in disappointment for you and destruction for them. That's the way we end up making people a casualty. So say it with me. It is not people's responsibility to reciprocate or to reward me. Now don't get me wrong, reciprocation would be great, but sometimes we're trying to get blood from a turnip, and I think that we forget that the situations that require our gifts are typically filled with people who aren't gifted in the same way that we are. We fall into the trap of expecting people who don't have what we have to give what we give. Everyone is not you. You will be constantly disappointed if you expect you in other people. So face the reality of what they have to offer you without judging it or condemning it. Let who called you be responsible for rewarding you and value the reward that he promised. All right, here's the last one. And it's a little bit of a doozy. I let the pain of the process derail my compassion. You know, when we're operating in our gifts, it seems like we are at our most powerful and most vulnerable state. We are doing things that we may not have ever thought that we were capable of, but we're also lights on a lampstand. And the attention that we attract may bring comments and criticism and judgment and lies and gossip and attempts at sabotage and all of this foolishness. Regardless of what it is specifically, it can all generally be categorized as pain. The pain of the process too often makes us stop in the process. But when we do that, it gives us an altered reality and a victim's mentality. And victims can never really prosper until they get that out. You know, I realized this month that that's what happened to me. There has been one experience in particular that was so painful that when I looked at it, all I could see was how I'd been taken advantage of, hurt, and abused. But it seemed like God kept sending me right back to that same situation to help. And I couldn't understand why. Why he just wouldn't let me leave. Leave me alone. Send someone else. You have to have other options. Why me? But I learned that sometimes our healing comes from facing painful places, and our gift is purified from being used in ways that are truly a sacrifice. The pain is an evident and unavoidable part of the process, but we should never accept that the pain should hurt in the same way for the rest of our lives. We should grow to the point where what hurts us has to evolve too. That means that the same things won't hurt me forever. Not because I've become jaded or hardened or I've stopped caring. No, it's because I've matured to the point that some things don't affect me like they used to. And I've healed to the point where I no longer attract some things to me either. You see, some pain comes to teach us a lesson, but once we've learned it, that pain is no longer necessary. Also, there are some things that hurt us only because they trigger and hit that wounded place, but healing alleviates our pain point. We must make sure that we don't decide and accept pain and tell ourselves that this is just how things are meant to be. When we do that, we sign ourselves up to be locked in an experience of more pain. And we end up experiencing more than we're meant to because we stay there, and staying there, it changes us. It breaks us down. It makes us guarded and hardened and bitter. Pain steals our strength, and it jeopardizes our gifts because it kills our compassion. You see, every time Jesus operated in his gifts, it's because he was moved by compassion. So that's the genesis of every gift that we have. And that's the reason we are gifted at all. Without compassion, our gifts plateau, or they become inoperable because they're cut off from their power source. You see, we have to fight to maintain our compassion for those that we're called to, regardless of their response. It has to become our priority and our responsibility to keep ourselves in a compassionate place. And the only way to do that is to stay in the presence of God. Staying connected to him, it keeps us in a cycle of giving and getting compassion, because we can't give what we don't have. So now that we've reached the end of this particular conversation, what are you going to do? If you started this like me, feeling like your gift was a little bit curse-like, if any of these 4 points resonated with you and you saw evidence of them in your life, you have to decide what you are going to do. Will you accept the gift and pay the cost, or are you content to just stopping where you are in the process? Will you become this gifted person that you have the opportunity to be? Or is there another version of yourself that you are more committed to or you'd rather become? Because honestly, the choice is yours. But remember, this articulation of your gift, where you are in the process, it is not the end. There is so much more for you. Our gifts grow and they evolve as we continue through this process. if we stop here, or if we try to get the gifts and use the gifts without going through God's process, we make our gifts a curse. But if we choose to pay the cost and continue in the process, oh, then transformation is waiting. I want everything God wants for you. And I pray that you want it too. And that you are willing to do whatever it takes to have it. So let me know. Let me know what you decide. Let me know what impacted you about this conversation or how your journey is. I always want to know how you're doing and how things are going. And so the best ways to let me know is by commenting on this episode or any of the Clarice blog social media pages. You can also send me a message or leave a comment on the blog post for this episode at clariceblog.com. I am truly invested in your journey, and I cannot wait to continue this conversation. So, talk soon.